Please be seated. Okay, one last time, for those of you who have seen this on the internet, is this dress black or blue? Black and blue or gold and white? How many think it's black and blue? How many of you think it's gold and white? Okay, now this is interesting. There's a kind of a weird optical illusion. Look at this. What we've discovered is that what you see there is dependent on how your eyes and your brain process light, and especially background light. And there was some blue light behind this dress that looked white for most of us. 70% of people see it as white and gold. But it depends on how your individual brain is processing light information. So when this dress was seen next to the bride, see this? You can tell exactly what color it is. That's, honest to God, the same dress that looks white and gold to most of us. It was really dark blue and black lace, proven by the manufacturer. Well, what's the point? It may be different than you think. That's our mantra for this week. Go ahead and say that. All right. Thank you. Along the same vein, is this a sunrise or is it a sunset? Well, it may, say it with me, it may be different than you think. And the same thing confronts the disciples as they have this shocking, terrifying, death-defying experience of Jesus showing up in their midst from the dead. They had to ask, you know, is this a ghastly, ghostly, scary, threatening apparition meant to do us harm? Clearly, that's what they were asking at first. Or is this an appearance in the flesh? An appearance of the risen Lord Jesus. An appearance of the very real love, peace, shalom, well-being that Jesus died for us to have in the first place. For the disciples, once they got past their disbelieving for joy, isn't that an interesting phrase? They disbelieved for joy. They began to grasp what was right in front of them, and it wasn't threat, but fulfillment of things beyond their wildest dreams as things opened up. The real life presence, for instance, of forgiveness. Forgiveness wasn't an apparition. It was as real as this bodily presence of Jesus right in their room that they could see, feel, taste, touch, and feed even. You remember that funny scene in the Casper the Friendly Ghost movie where Casper tries to be like everybody else and he eats something and it just drops on the floor? That sticks in my mind. That's not what happened here. It went into Jesus' digestive system. He was truly, really there in the flesh. He eats this piece of fish and it's in his digestive system. And when he arrived in this room, he was there. But it was as if the temple of the curtain had been torn open. You remember that image, so to speak? This is a radical event. This is a radical breaking out of the matrix kind of an experience, like that movie. It's the tearing away of our old presuppositions about how life is and the building of something new. It's the start of something, a radically altered perception of life as we know it. And it wasn't just their minds that were altered. Their life direction was altered. Their future was changed because they were invited first to bask in this forgiveness for themselves, and once they'd done that, they'd absorbed it. They were sent out to proclaim this forgiveness and life change, repentance to the whole world. And guess what? They did it. It's still happening. This weekend at our Gulf Coast Synod Assembly, by the way, our synod is comprised of about 120 congregations from Brenham to New Orleans and from up north, Lufkin all the way down to Galveston, all the ELCA Lutheran churches in our synod. And seven of us were at the synod assembly. Well, seven actually, because the Fair Trade Store was there as well with Beth and Ann. And at any rate, it was an assembly where we do business and we learn a lot of things, and we were hearing reports from our partner churches. For instance, did you know this? The church Christianity is spreading so rapidly across Africa. And our partner synod there, Central African Republic, there's one church that has 4 million members. What do you think of that, huh? So, if you think Christianity is on the decline, repeat with me, it may not be what you think. You know, we were given a little quiz at the Senate Assembly to see how our little computerized little, you know, voting thingies were working, and not too well. But here's one of the questions. See if you can give me an answer to this. What percentage of Christians invited someone to church in the past year? What percentage do you think? Pardon? 10%? 5%? 2%. Yeah, well, Beth was there. 2%. By the way, those of you who were at the Synod Assembly, you should see your representatives. Beth and Jeannie was here, and Sue. Stand up so they can see you guys. These are some of the people that represented you out there. And yeah, Linda. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And Pastor Jennifer. All right. So 2%. Now, here's another one they put on our little thingy here. In a recent survey of unchurched people, what percentage of unchurched people said they would go to church with someone if they were invited? What percentage do you think? Pardon? 45%. 50. 70. 82%. Jeannie had it right. She remembered. 82%. Now, what does that tell you? Repeat after me, or with me. It may be different than you think. People are looking for meaning and something beyond themselves. And if we aren't telling people, you got to come and hear this, you got to come and see this, I have a question for you. Have we ourselves forgotten the power of resurrection to change lives? Huh? Is your mind open still to understand scriptures the way Jesus opened their eyes that day and they saw things from a radically different perspective? I've seen lives transformed way too much over the years to deny the power of the resurrection. In our Christian counseling clinic in Milwaukee called Kairos, all of our therapists were trained in a model of therapy that was powerful for opening minds, really. They were taught to focus with their counseling clients, as Philippians 4 states, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's anything, any excellences, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I remember one family that came to see me, mom and dad with a 14-year-old son, and their 14-year-old son was no dummy, but he was flunking in school, skipping classes, even though he was in school every day. They dropped him off, he was there. And the parents laid out to me all the ways that their kid was screwing up and going so badly, and especially these grades, and their concern about his future, and all the things they'd tried to do to get him to change. They were feeling like failures, you know? So I asked their son, so, what are your grades right now? And he said, almost all Fs. And I said, not all Fs? Well, not all Fs. I said, really, what isn't an F? He said, well, I got a D in history. And then I said, a D in history? Well, help me out here. I'm confused. How on earth are you getting a D in history? How are you managing to get a passing grade in that class? And we talked about that D for 10 minutes from that angle, and the parents were getting more and more frustrated. They thought this was, you could tell, stupid, that D wasn't much better than an F after all, and he was still flunking. And that's understandable. They were scared for their kid. But I kept pushing. Yes, this is different. How on earth do you explain him succeeding at getting a passing grade in one class? You hear the focus? They stopped protesting and they started listening as I was talking to their son about some of the things he liked about that history class, the teacher and some stuff, and what he got himself to do to get to that class when he didn't get to other ones, etc., etc., and what it said about him that he was getting there and that he was passing in that class. And as we discussed this, you could see the light coming on, not just for that kid, but for his parents as well, like that. Is this an ending or a beginning? The light. And here they'd come expecting it to be confirmed how bad their kid was, right? Or worse yet, what losers they were as parents, right? And instead, here they were talking about the success of one D in a field of Fs. I can imagine it wasn't much different for those disciples that day when Jesus showed up in their midst. What did they expect from him? Probably once they knew it was him, a good tongue lashing at least, right? But there wasn't one, was there? Instead, he said, "Peace be with you." That's the Hebrew greeting. Shalom, may all be well with you. And you can only imagine how those disciples felt. It's like their gyros have been thrown off kilter, if you're a pilot. This is definitely not what they expected. It was a ripping open of reality. First of all, his appearing at all, the crucified one, and then his offering them not condemnation, but peace. Well, I sent this kid off to notice for the next week how he got himself to keep doing what was working to get to that history class, and for his parents to be aware of other areas of his life that he was being successful, even small little things, you know, like did he brush his teeth, for instance. Well, they came back the next week, and things were different. He reported to me that he'd been going to classes all week, all his classes. His parents reported that they saw him bring books home and study one night. And then they said there was less fighting in the house and that he had actually sat down and had dinner with them for the first time in a month that week. And so I asked them what difference each of those things made. And that all of those things happened. And then what's the likelihood this could continue for you guys? And you could see that they were on a new track entirely, from that defeat and gloom that they'd experienced to hope and confidence that things can be different. All because what? They were open to they opened their minds to understand scriptures, really, even though I didn't quote Philippians in that session, not till the next one. Whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, whatever is worthy of praise, think about these things. When you open your mind, that's one of the things scripture says. We taught that approach to families all over the Milwaukee area in some fun family workshops that Thrivent paid for, sponsored for us, interestingly. We called it, What's Right with Your Family? You know? Well, if you're looking, if your mind is open, you don't have to look far to see how powerful it is to live in the light of the resurrection. Where you were sure that a relationship was broken for good, say it with me, it may be different than you think. When you thought your job loss was the end, say it with me, it may be different than you think. You know, it may be a sunrise rather than a sunset. The risen Lord Jesus standing in our midst, it could be the beginning of something beyond anything you could have imagined developing in your life. You know, it may be different because in the light of the rising sun, somebody told me this when I was in a job crisis several years ago. They said this, you know, things always work out in the end. And if it isn't worked out yet, that just means it isn't the end yet. Kind of good, huh? She also gave me a little sign I taped on my computer screen. I give thanks for unknown blessings already on their way. You like that one? I give thanks for unknown blessings already on their way. Well, I thought it was a lot of baloney, but I kept looking at it anyway, you know? And over time, this woman who helped me get through this time made me realize the power of resurrected living again. By the way, let this be a clue to you. If you thought you could live the Christian life on your own without any help from anybody else, thank you, you're sadly mistaken. The Christian faith is just too different than we think to get it on our own. It isn't how our minds work. We need others to open us up and keep us open to understand scriptures and to what God is doing. The disciples understood that. That's why they ran back to be with the others. If you run into somebody who says, well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, tell them, well, you might be missing something out there on your own. It might be different than you think. Why don't you come with me and find out? Jesus comes into our lives, risen from the dead, proclaiming peace be with you, as he shows us evidence of his real, unconditionally loving and forgiving presence in whatever is going on in our lives. And when you're having a hard time with something, remember, as the disciples discovered, say it with me, it may not be what you think.